Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained show live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me, Steven of Midnight Hatter. Steven, what's up, man?
Not a lot. Had a great show yesterday. Missed you on the show talking about Gundam marketing, but I think that you probably got a better experience being in the theater checking out Gundam 3.
Well, I thought you were going to say, yeah, I'm going to get to that, but I thought you said I'd have a better experience listening to you and watching your show, which I thought I did, because since you are sort of a marketing professional anyway, it was really insightful for me. I was listening as I was driving to the theater, and then when I got out of the theater, and then I finished it, and lots of good points. And I think we're going to talk about some of it. We have a few topics today. One is going to be about a possible new Seed game coming out. And so I think it almost, we could take what you were talking about yesterday and kind of think, okay, is that kind of a marketing idea that we've talked about before that they can kind of lean into?
Yeah, kind so of I think weighs nicely into,
yeah,
because you know, we talked about, like, you know, hey, Bandai Namco is canceling games, and so the idea that there might be a new Seed game is like, wait a second,
yeah,
that's one that that's still alive, then that's pretty exciting.
It is. But yeah, you know, to start real quick, yeah, the reason I wasn't on your show yesterday, you know, I went and saw Gundam 3 in the theater, which was awesome. I've watched them before, but just seeing them in the theater, I prefer that experience. Like anything, even if I don't like really, really, really like something, I'm gonna do something real quick. That's bothering me. Okay. Okay. Sorry, guys. Again, new software, but it
well, it's for new real software, now. But it's old software. But it's
yeah, but it's old. But for, no. Like even if it's something like if Aliens, which I love, they said, oh, that would be in the theater, or Blade, I would go and sit. Even though I've seen it 1,000 times, I would sit there and watch it because the darkness, the size of the screen. No, and typically people are good about in the theater not having their cell phones out. Like, I can really sit there and get a focused experience.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, watching Gundam 3, there was so much more I've realized Requiem for Vengeance pulled from that I think people don't generally talk about. And it further cements some of the choices that were made in and makes me appreciate more the little subtle nods. And
oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know what's interesting is you just brought up something that kind of goes back to the idea of, you know, kind of missteps in marketing is, you know, the third movie Gundam is called Encounters in Space, right? Mm-hmm. Awesome subtitle to the movie, yeah. And really sums up, like, okay, what's the ending of the original Gundam movie trilogy about? But then there was the PS2 video game Encounters in Space.
Oh, yeah. But
that was not about the original series. It was about 0083, or at least the focus was around 0083. Because it's like
maybe I'm thinking something else.
What's that?
Oh, are you sure? Because I think it was wasn't Encounters of Space where it had the original story, but then it unlocked the
it could have been, but like on the cover of the box, it's like the GPO-1 full burner.
Oh, okay. So that, like, I'd never seen the cover. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the focus around it was definitely, I think, if Ultronimus is in chat, he can confirm for me, because I know that he's a big 0083 guy and that Encounters in Space is his favorite, PS2 title.
That is a good one. Yeah. Cause that campaign there is awesome to be those. Yeah. And that's cool. They'd have it on the front to market it. I mean, that does make sense. And actually, let me test something to see if it works. Uh-oh. Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
Encounter. Well, I got to like fix the crop and oh my God, Adam, did you prepare? No. Okay. what is going on? You know what? Anyway, yeah, you know,
there's a lot of those types of things where a subtitle in Gundam is recycled for something that's not necessarily related to the thing that it was at first, right?
Yeah, yeah, because he's saying it was marketed for 0083, which makes sense because by then that was the more modernization of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, good game. But so another cool thing about the movie is the music, because I was complaining about the music in the first two, which it's not bad music, but it's different from the show. So it's not as, I mean, the first movie does play some of the classic themes, but the third movie takes the classic themes and kind of extends them and kind of fully realizes them. So I really love the soundtrack of the third. So, you know, this kind of segues into this another thing where it's like, I almost don't want to talk about it, but I kind of want to address it. And that's the Rec Room for Vengeance content I've been making has been really successful for me, which I'm really proud of. The thing is, it's inviting some comments that are just not nice or they're just bad takes. I'm like, wow, is this what really Gundam fans or the community thinks? And it's almost like I made a video addressing it, and then like my son saw it and he's like, I don't know, and I was like, well, yeah, let me show Steven, and Steven's like, yeah, I don't know, because I was kind of burning people. And like the thing is, I don't like to do it, but I like to be funny, but I'm actually doing it for real even though I'm being funny, if you know what I mean. And and you were kind of saying that's kind of mean, so I was like,
yeah, I'm always one of the types of people that's like, you know, attack the content of the argument, don't attack the individual person, right? And yeah, so like one of the things that I recently saw this like on Instagram was like they said that Paul Dano in preparation for his role as the Riddler in Batman, he abstained from sex for 2 weeks so that he could get in the mind of an incel. And I was like,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay. Clearly, Paul Dano. No, I don't know. I could make all kinds of horrible jokes about it, but like, clearly, there's a, you know, again, I'll go back to like, this is the idea behind new types, right? Is it's like there is a complete lack of compassion. If you think that the reason that people are angry online is because they haven't had sex in 2 weeks, then it represents a massive lack of compassion on your part, and you clearly don't understand those people.
That is a really good point.
And so that's where it's like, you know, I don't want to come from a place of telling people like, huh, you're wrong because you don't know what a woman's touch is. You know, I'm like, no, you're wrong because you're showing the same lack of compassion that people are showing to you. And that's the problem. Well,
and so I will say that one of the comments someone posted, like, the show's bad because it has a woman in it. Why are they having a woman as the main? And I go, do women trigger you? And then he responded, and he has a response here that we'll go over, to be fair. So what I'm going to do is
do ruin everything, but like,
I mean, Quess.
Yeah. Look at that. You know, yeah.
Well, it's funny because someone even made a comment about, oh, and I forgot the character's name with the piercing and the pink hair.
Oh, it was, Arhun.
Yeah. Something strange, as strange as a Gundam name is.
I kept wanting to say Athrun because it's spelled almost exactly like Athrun Zala, but without the T. So it's like,
that's Arhun. What I remember seeing. But anyway, there's a scene where she's like, oh no, there's the Federation in front of us. We can't go back. We just have to drive through. And someone made a comment saying, a woman doing that ruins it for everyone. It's like, well, wait a minute. They wrote that. It's not like because the character was a woman, it wrote itself to then make a bet. And think of Kai knowingly brings a spy into Whitebase. How that is even worse.
So, yeah. You know, I think that there's a difference between a character that you don't like because they exhibit traits that you don't like, and then a character that's poorly written. I think, like, for instance, and you haven't watched Game of Thrones, right?
Right.
But like, Game of Thrones has some infamously hateable characters. That doesn't mean that they're poorly written characters. They're actually fantastically written sociopaths, right, such as Joffrey and Ramsay Snow. But like, the audience hates them because they are so manipulative and so evil. And so it's like, you know, I feel bad for the actors that portrayed them, because then it's like,
yeah, especially live action.
Yeah, you know, there's that parasocial relationship, like that. I mean,
like, I have a Bruce Campbell.
Exactly.
But you know, that's very interesting. Because, like, that's like a horror movie. If it's written well, it's going to scare people. Do you think people just want to be scared out of nowhere? No. But then it's not like they're like, I didn't like that movie, it was scary. They're like, well, it was written that way. Or like, if someone watched a movie that made them cry, but they were touched, even though it was sad, you know, it's like, yeah, you could be like, oh, I don't want to watch it because it's sad. Like, people will admit that, but there's some people that want that because, oh, I want it. So like, when
I love the pain, pain is the truth.
So when people then are mad at a character's motivations, it might be like, okay, then it was written well to really get you to emotionally invest in what they did. Which,
very true.
So that's why I want to cover this right now so we can move on to more fun things.
Yeah.
So let me change my screen here. So guys, I'm going to go quick. So this was a guy that responded to Gavin, the writer who wrote the show, he said, thanks, you know, for the interview. And this guy goes, the show sucks. Get an original idea. I can't believe Bandai actually let you put that out. I won't lie, there were some cool scenes, but it doesn't make up for the fact that you can't write. So right there is when it's like, that's just not a nice way to sort of convey your thoughts on art that someone's making.
Well, and I mean, I love to see when, like, okay, so then, because I hear this argument all the time about Zeta Gundam, right? Like, the dub is terrible. I hate the Zeta Gundam dub. And it's like, okay, what about the Zeta Gundam dub is so bad? And the crickets, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the writing's so bad. And, you know, hey, last night I went on and kind of said that I've changed my opinion about Requiem for Vengeance in a couple of different ways. One thing that I've noticed is that it really doesn't push the envelope as far as, like, what a Gundam series can do. It really does kind of tread the same ground, the same tried and true recycled stories. But if you're going to complain about that from Requiem for Vengeance, then you might as well complain about that for 0080 or 8th MS Team. Like, that
the
story is such a trope that is recycled in almost every mainline UC entry. Shoot, Binazur and Merida have the same sort of relationship going on. It's just painted a little differently because it's from Binazur's standpoint. But, like, the idea of enemies that, like, you know, it really is like the same story over and over and over again. But I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that it's Bandai and Gavin playing conservatively because they know that Gundam fans are visceral. We get fucking up in arms.
That's a really good point. And what's funny is then when people complain about the things, and we're going to get to it, that's in the show, it's like, well, that's in Gundam. Like, that's just what Gundam is. So he says some more. He wants to end this with, like, if Bandai is smart, they will never let another American anywhere near the Gundam IP. Thank you for showing me Netflix will pick anything up. Love, a real Gundam fan. I have to share this with people. This is incredible. It's almost like TV. it's like you could get ideas to write a script. Anyway, this next one, which starts to be okay, because it says the writing is stale, and that's an opinion, sure. Doesn't add anything to the lore, which is kind of true. That's fun. But then, and, you know, the grammar is kind of messed up, but, and modern westernize as if it was a Call of Duty script with Gundam. And, well, I'm not saying Call of Duty is bad, but usually those are, like, what, 2 or 3 hour campaigns with the dialogue is maybe 20 minutes total.
I've never actually played a Call of Duty campaign.
It's not bad, but it's basic stuff. There's no subtext. There's no callbacks. It doesn't do the usual writing techniques that are used to tell a fulfilling story, but they're still not bad.
Yeah.
Usually what they do is they'll get like a good actor to portray something. And that's what's kind of fun about it. It's like, okay, this actor, I'm seeing that's him talk cool. to me.
Kind of like Far Cry, the way that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Cool.
So with this one, actually, I tweeted something the other day where it was their whole list of red flags without even watching the show yet, which is hilarious. But they're like, red flags for the show being woke. Though, to be fair, it's a mix of both. And I don't know what that means. But if it's going to be like that, fine. But it has to be balanced out by conservative values that matches its preachiness or lack thereof. Like, now we're getting to someone that they live in a reality where they already have sides of things that they already delineate. Like, this I'm against, this I'm for, and they're living that out. They're projecting that on a TV show.
I mean, a lot of people do live that way. And I think that, I mean, I mentioned this last night. I think that the audience of The Boys, that TV show, is very split politically. And I think over on the Free Speech Geek podcast, we talked about how, like, even though that show does a good job of being balanced in terms of quantity of attacks on political sides, the quality of the political attacks made towards the right are typically, those are more like uppercuts and left hooks, whereas the attacks that they make on the left are like jabs, like, oh, we're going to make fun of the MCU and, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But then we're going to make fun of something, you know, obviously there was like the big Homelander at Whataburger.
I think you were talking about that yesterday, weren't?
Now, here's where it's like, I kind of agree with this person to an extent, because there's the famous Michael Jordan quote, Republicans buy sneakers too. And this is why you should never get political with your marketing and your messaging, is because
I see what you're saying.
People have always said, like, Michael, why do you like market to white kids who don't play basketball? And he said, because Republicans buy sneakers too. And so it's like, you know, but here's where the problem is that, like, aside from the cast being, you know, a little multicultural and a couple of females being in the squad, I didn't think that there was anything in the show that was particularly woke. Did you?
No. And, you know, I want to be clear, because I know you've heard me talk about this and I feel cringe about it, is I've been complaining about the new Sonic game where they where they've censored some things. And, like, that is such a little thing, but it made me like, why are they censoring Sonic? Like, I will totally speak out when something I'm mad about. It's just, this Gundam show doesn't have anything.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any meat there on that particular bone.
So, okay, so then, by the way, check the Twitter if you want to see what that person wrote. But then this other one just says, gonna be so woke. Okay, but with a modern writer. And my thought is, what do you mean by a modern writer? Are we supposed to go to the future and get a writer? Are we supposed to dig up?
Let's just have ChatGPT write everything for us and we'll...
So this one, you know, this one person is not being mean or rude at all. I think it's kind of funny. It's more of, I'm surprised this is their gripe, is I kind of feel like there should have been more snow on the ground in Romania during that time of year. Only real gripe I have with the show. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like, yeah, my thought, maybe it's because after the colony drop and, you know, the weather changing. And then I'm like, well, you know what? I actually don't know anything about Romania, so let me look it up.
Yeah.
November looks exactly like it does in the show with the trees, and the snow is mainly in the mountains, but it looks like fall during that time of year. So that's like, that person didn't say anything rude or mean. I think that's kind of an example of, like, someone's like, I don't like this. And sometimes it's like where you hand that letter, like, okay, you know, like what I, so here's one.
And you know what? Maybe that's like a little plot hole that you can point to. But I think if you're going to make a substantial criticism of the show, then that's pretty weak. But
yeah, exactly. This other one, bro, the main protagonist is introduced to us with a non-military haircut, with a squad of non-military ready members. And our first scene with her is when one of the only white men that doesn't seem evil gives her respect for saving his life. She just walks away, ignoring him. Nothing like a Gundam protagonist. Damn, bro. You don't give a F about your whole identity. Ha, 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 ha. Identity is not your strong suit. We all should have our identity in the same place that every knee will one day bow before. At the end, it sounded like Thanos was saying something. But, like, so a couple of things. Just, like, talking about the haircut. And I kind of get it. She has the shaved side of the head. I mean, I guess they did show a scar there, so you can say, like, well, like, technically a story implications.
Yeah, I mean, where's the complaints for Ramona Flowers, Merida, you know, like, non-military haircuts, like, that's...
I know Ramona Flowers.
Well, you know, Merida's got, like, the, you know, little dangly... She's got, like, a Ramona Flowers-style haircut of, like...
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Or, yeah. Or, like, Anna Vulgata with his ponytail, like, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a weird time to draw the line in the sand.
Well, and then it also says a squad of non-military ready members. I mean, I think the people in the military, wherever they were in the military, but then you just think of the original Gundam white base was non-military members that got caught up in this war. And I'm like, the original Gundam, like, that's where I'm saying this show kind of has callbacks, even though non-military, but I can understand maybe people having to join up that weren't necessarily with each other, having to figure things out. That is white base.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, like, the haircut itself being, you know, and of course, like, you know, Lieutenant Arhun having, like, the pink dyed hair. Like, I get the, you know, oh, these are, like, woke haircuts and stuff like that. But, like, I don't know. In the 80s, we wouldn't have called that woke. We would have called that, like, a punk chick. And that would be kind of the girl that I would be going after. But, in high school, you know, but then sure, I know that she has red flags about her. And
yeah. No, that's exactly it. Yeah. I remember high school pink hair. So the other thing, too, is, like, the first scene with her is when one of the only white men that doesn't seem evil. I, I'm having trouble like figuring out like what he's really getting at. I mean,
hey, I'll say it. Is it late enough that we can talk spoilers, right?
Oh yeah, spoilers for sure today. Yeah.
The number one character in the entire show is a white guy.
Oh yeah, that's true. Kellern. Who pilots the Gundam EX?
Oh, I was gonna say Kellern. Like,
oh, I see what you're getting at.
Like he was the coolest dude on screen, even though it was a very limited cameo. But like Kellern's cameo was freaking awesome, and like the fact that he came in and he gave purpose. Like he was so I studied literature in college, so I know a thing or two about this. Like, you know, without him coming in and introducing that call to action for the character. So, you know how like the hero's journey, there's the call to action, the refusal of the call, that sort of thing. That whole interaction happened in that room where Kellern says, hey, here's the mission. Here's the quest. Here's what I want you to do. And, you know, at first she's like, I'm not sure about this. I don't really want to do it. Refusal of the call. And then there's like that crossing the threshold moment where it's like, okay, now I'm going to answer the call to adventure. I'm going to go steal these GMs. And then that is the crossing the threshold moment where the character goes out of their safe space and into safe space. There you go. There's a triggering phrase. You know, she goes into the unknown and into a dangerous place. Usually it's called perdition. It's hell. So, yeah. I mean, this is like classic storytelling tropes, and
right.
Kellern is one of the agents of this story. You know, he's the Obi-Wan Kenobi to Solari's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, which I think kind of goes back to when we're talking about how this is written. It is written well because the structure is there. Even if you don't agree with how it plays out, it has the structure. And I wanted to bring up Harlan Littlejohn. He said, what's even wrong with something being woke? I like representation and progressive themes that challenge me and stuff like that. Also, do these types of people even watch Gundam? And yeah, some of them know, and we'll get to that in a second. But you're right, because really the idea of representation is good. It's just that I think what has happened is there's times where that is the priority over the story. And that happened with Castlevania, the show I like, which it was still actually enjoyable. But as a Castlevania fan, I was like, well, they changed that character just for that, when that character really had a whole other point, you know, in the game. And it's those things. It goes back and forth where I think there's nuance here. Representation is good, but, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, what's funny to me is it's like the woke crowd should be angry because the bad guys were the more diverse side. Like the Federation was all white dudes, like every single one of them.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because Star Wars Squadrons, that was when I first realized it. And it kind of bothered me because in Star Wars Squadrons, you play on the TIE fighter, the Empire. Wow. I can't believe I said it like that. The Empire side. And it's all diverse people, which, to me, the Empire is kind of like the Zeon. It's the white German Nazi type. And then I would think the Rebel Alliance would be the diverse type. But they changed it around because they wanted you to play as the bad guys that would then be the good. It was very interesting.
I mean, you're going to see this kind of hypocrisy in all fandoms. Like my favorite example of this is when woke people talk about how much they love Firefly, when it's like you realize that like the protagonists of Firefly are basically like the Confederate South. Like they even make that joke. It's like, you know, Unification Day. You sound like one of them independents. Like,
there was like a lot of that in there, which was interesting.
But
back then, you know, or most of the time, these things are used as parallels on purpose to kind of set up a good grounding. Not that it's trying to be a message. And that's, I think, the mistake people are like. It's like, they're sending a message. It's an agenda. Oh, if I look, I'm going to be brainwashed. It's like, no, bro. This other one is when I told that guy, oh, I guess women trigger you. This is his response. He goes, let me guess, people not liking your buddy's show for valid reasons triggers you. So it's like, okay, got me. But it's not like this guy's my buddy. Like, he took time out of his day and scheduling at different points to finally get time with him because he's busy. We're not buddies or anything.
This goes to the points that I was making last night about marketing is like Bandai was doing nothing with Erasmus Brosdow or Gavin Hignite, like the director and writer for this show. You know, you think about like every time there's a new Hollywood show, how many times do you see the actors and the directors getting interviewed on different, you know, podcasts and late night shows? They had none of that going on. And so literally the only person that's talking to the creators of this show is you. Yeah. And if this is the reception that they're going to get, then, you know, we might as well just close up shop and never sell anything Gundam related again.
I know. It that's what part of me, again, trying to bring this up is to show people this is not the way. I mean, really, this is if this is something you see yourself doing, there's probably some deeper things that I would love to help. I mean, reach out to me, you know, and talk to. I'm not the best at that, though. This other one, bro, watch series. No bad, but don't like characters. Bro, pink hair tattoo, some in the nose or ear. And this series is not canon main universe. Disagree with that. I don't know what to say, and I feel bad because the child looks 8 in their picture. So we'll just say parents shouldn't let them post on YouTube. That's that. Okay.
Are your videos not age restricted?
Yeah, that's right. They're not for kids. Okay, this one is, there are only 2 gripes I have. Mine are the mobile suits moved too fast. It didn't seem to have weight, but it's fine. That's fair. This other one, major, the shoehorned in new type conversation. Yes, Zeon Daikun's work will be somewhat common knowledge among Zeon loyalists, but maybe that too was swept aside by the Zabi regime. Either way, I don't think the grunts would have that sort of expert definition like it was the Grips Wars or something. I'm not even sure the new type lab within Zeon at the time knew that much beyond the ability to control funnels. Now, this is where I go, well, technically, June of 0079, the Flanagan, that was the Augusta lab that Dr. Flanagan ran. They were already doing that. I mean, Cassilia had the new type core. It was a known thing. There's that whole middle section of the original series. It's in the second movie where they're having that whole, they're doing physicals of everybody to be like, okay, who's a new type so we can use them? Who's a new type? It was a known thing.
And so this is a hotly debated topic online, is like, whose Red Zaku does Lieutenant Arhun have tattooed on her shoulder? Is it yours or is it Johnny Ridden's?
So that's a good point, because I think either way, was Johnny Ridden a confirmed new type?
I don't think so. But yeah, it's like, okay, if it's late enough into the war that Char is like some kind of hero that other soldiers are getting tattoos of him and fangirling about it, then it's theoretically possible.
Right.
But I would say of all of the criticisms of the show that we've seen so far, of which I've seen 2, which is the mobile suits moving too fast. And then, So of all the criticisms, I would say that this is the most valid for sure.
Well, the major part about the new types, just because it's like the dialogue they had in Requiem for Vengeance is similar to the one in Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah, and I think that they do kind of downplay it to a certain extent. Like, it's, you know, I think even Solari's kind of like, well, you know.
Oh, and another thing that's interesting that I didn't catch until watching Mobile Suit Gundam 3 in a theater was Sayla and Mirai's new type abilities mirrored Solari's, because they would sit there and stare off and then be like, oh, something's happening. Or Sayla would just sit there and stare off and be like, Char's coming.
Yeah.
Like,
they would do the Obi-Wan thing. Like, you know, 1,000 voices cried out all at once. And
like with the solar ray.
Yeah.
The colony laser. Yeah.
Solar ray was the
solar.
Colony laser was Zeta.
What was the one that the Federation had? Because I just saw it last night.
That was the solar ray. What wasn't it?
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, I'm confusing the things. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Colony Laser didn't he have to? Well, okay. You know what? I don't want to get into this because then that takes away from, we're going to come back to that stuff. The weapons of war used by Garen. Okay. So anyway, that to me, you know, when someone is saying that they then don't think this would happen when there's evidence that it did happen, does that mean they don't know Gundam and they're complaining about something that they just assume is not Gundam?
Well, and you know what I mean? Is this kind of reminds me of some of the criticisms that I've gotten on some of my Gunpla videos, where it's like, so this criticism is that the characters seemingly knew too much. And then what I think you'll find later is that a lot of people complained about the ending because they think that like the characters knew too little.
Oh yeah.
It was well, why wouldn't Solari have gone and joined the Aeyug?
Yeah, I saw that.
Like what?
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. Cause I want to get through these. There's not many left. This one, Requiem for Vengeance, was awful. I went with low expectations and it didn't even meet those. It was clearly made by fans of 08MS team, but they completely forgot that was carried by a charming and likable cast. And I kind of agree. I wouldn't say that the cast in, I mean, they weren't, I kind of get it. Sometimes anime has more of that flair of the characterization, and it wasn't necessarily in Requiem for Vengeance. So like, I think that is completely valid. We get dull characters that say the most basic military movie dialogue. A prime example of the director and writer's misunderstanding of 08 MS team is the Guff custom. That was MS spec specifically for Norris, blah, 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 blah. So he's trying to say the Guff custom wouldn't have been in Requiem for Vengeance, but actually the Guff custom, there was more of them. It was even at Jaburo. Midnight Fenrir Corps had the Guff custom. So it's like another example of someone saying, I don't like it because this wouldn't be possible, when in fact, in Gundam lore, there were other Guff customs. So it's like, okay, so you don't like it because of that? Because that's the most the person detailed what they disliked.
Now, if they had Ifrits, then we could have had a like, oh, wait a second. Like, we know that there are only
eight Ifrits. I've heard you count those off before. Yeah, I know you're an Ifrit guy. Okay, so here's another one. This is by far the worst Gundam animation I've ever seen, and I give it a negative rating. The dialogue in the animation says the Zaku saved many lives, but in the original Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, the war initiated by Zeon against the Federation killed nearly 6 billion. The ironic part is that the Zaku was Zeon's most advanced killing machine. But I think that's the point. The Zaku, in terms of what Zeon people think and the propaganda that they show a lot of in MS Igloo, yeah, the Zaku saved lives. The Zeons are going to think that. That's kind of the point of what they're getting at here.
I mean, especially when you think of it in terms of like the mobile suit revolutionized warfare, because at the time it was all battleships. And the reason that the Federation was winning the war is because they had the better Navy. They had the better fleet. But if you shoot down a battleship that's got hundreds of people on it and crew, that's killing a lot more people than shooting down a single mobile suit. And so, a single mobile suit does save lives. You know, it goes back to like the conversation that you might have about like discounting a product too much. And it's like, oh, well, we're losing money by selling this product for a cheaper price. And it's like, no, you're not losing money. You're making less profit, but you're still making money. You know what I mean?
Big problem of all corporations.
Exactly.
And that's Square Enix's game. like it doesn't make enough. Nothing sells enough.
See, and this is, man, this is the problem I had with Witch from Mercury, is they didn't understand the corporations. but yeah, I mean, it's all point of view, right? I think that people unfortunately take things literally but not seriously when a character says them. So there's like that example of, I think someone got really upset because in Gundam Narrative they were like, wait a second, the Unicorn Gundam was dismantled. They said it was dismantled. And it's like, the character said that. There's this thing that people have been doing for a little while. It's called lying.
Yeah, and good written shows will have those character traits in there because it makes you think, you know. Okay, just two more and then we're gonna move on. This looked like a game that's valid. The story was good, but the animation was totally valid. If they really wanted to do well with the animation, they could have used other non-game software. I don't know about that. I mean, I know they're talking about Pixar, but a Pixar budget is probably 80 times the amount that some.
If Gundam got a Pixar budget, then we would be having a very different conversation right now.
I think it would be like Cuckoo's Doan's Island, but everything would have been CG, because I thought that was a real, that well made in that kind of Pixar realm where it's not violent but it still had a story. I know there's some people in the Gundam Explained Discord that said they did not like Cuckoo's Doan's Island. Really? And like, wanted to do a G-Watch over that. It's like, that'd be interesting because it is kind of different in a way, you know?
It is.
Okay, so there are other Gundam shows that show just as much effects. The designs are too busy. I can totally see that. But saying, looks like a Western design, the mobile suits. Now, that seems like an attack, because really, Western didn't design the mobile suit. It was actually designed by the guy that designed the OHMST.
I know. And I love that people are still floating like the, oh, well, they must have been AI generated. Like, obviously, they look like they're AI generated. And whenever people say that, whenever even people bring up like the whole idea of Eastern and Western mecha anyway, it's frustrating because they're painting a dichotomy that doesn't exist in reality.
Right.
Because like, if you think about what people consider Western mecha, they think like BattleTech, right? But almost all BattleTech designs are stolen from Japanese mecha.
Exactly. And just
repurposed. So it's like this whole like East-West thing, or like artist versus AI, or, you know, we create these arbitrary labels and then we try to fall on one side of that label and then paint the other side as the bad guy. Exactly.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's what I was alluding to earlier, is a lot of times people live in this reality where they have to have an enemy or something that they stand against. It's like, you don't really have to have anything to stand against. That might just be bad for your health. But let's go to this last one. I loved the series, but I didn't like the ending. She basically abandoned everything she was even trying to do. Oh, let's save the children by killing more children. The entire time I watched it, it was odd, only because they wanted to make Zeon the good guys, or the anti-hero, despite what Zeon has done throughout the war. They are the ones evading Earth. Now, the reason I thought this was interesting is at the beginning, he's complaining about exactly what I liked about what happened, how you had sympathy for Solari, but by the end, she's still in the war. Even if she's like, I kind of want to stop what's going on, but she's willing to fight to do it and not be with her son. To me, that leans more into a Zeon bad guy, sort of. Like, if you had like a graph of like a Federation good guy and a Zeon bad guy, she'd be closer to that.
I was going to say, isn't that kind of like Megatron in Transformers 1? Like,
yeah, exactly. Kind of the same thing.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah, there's something else I was just... No, that actually happened in Requiem for Vengeance when her squad mate, I forgot the guy's name, pulled the gun. Who?
LaShawn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pulled the gun on the dude. I was like, whoa. So he gets like really angry. And so, you know, when they're saying like, only because they wanted to make Zeon the good guys, but no, they made the writing. What I loved about it is you were getting sympathy for the characters, but then by the end, it was Sieg Zeon. Like, yeah. So.
Well, it's the same thing that you get from like the prequel trilogy, right? Is it's like, we have sympathy for Anakin Skywalker as a person, because it's like, man, all these terrible things happen to him, but he still becomes Darth Vader.
Yeah. And
I think I've said it like 100 times at this point, where it's like heroes and villains have the same origin story. They just react differently to it.
Yeah.
You know, Camille lost his parents. Char lost his parents. One became a new type and saved the AU. The other became a new type and tried to drop an asteroid onto Earth. So it's like,
yeah. And so the reason I wanted to go through this is because as a content creator, when I'm checking comments, because there's awesome people that leave awesome comments all the time. And I feel like that's what needs to be praised all the time. But that's almost like by default, we should expect that. Then I go and look at is people kind of saying mean things, like saying the writer shouldn't be a writer, or that he can't write, or then claiming, well, I don't like it because of this. And I'm just like, well, as a Gundam fan, I want to tell you that actually does happen in Gundam. But to be angry and about just to
be intellectually consistent about it. Like, if you're going to hate something, then okay, I hate female protagonists. Okay, then I don't like any Gundam that has a female protagonist, of which there's like two. So it's not like that's like, but right. No, you get my point. Is it's like, if you're going to criticize the haircuts, then you hate Anna Volgato too. And if you say that, then hey, we're copacetic. Like, I get it. Non-military standard. I'm cool.
Yeah. No. So, and lastly, from Ian, that quote about living long enough to see yourself become the villain, which I think is something that I think it's interesting how that's a story for villains. Like, if the hero's journey, you know, if you were to look at that and see how a villain could be born. But I think on a small level that happens with each of us individually, where sometimes we might fall into a trap where we have an ideal that's mainly being fed to us by our surroundings, or maybe we're seeking out things that enforce that. And we go so far down into it that we end up not being a good iteration of ourselves. And I think through life, we have to like navigate that, be able to recognize it. Hopefully we have loved ones around us that can identify that and let us know. And so part of that too is, you know, for people that say things mean to others or just for the sake of it, it's like, think about that. You know, think about how much comes out of life if you think about things half full instead of half empty. I know it was easy for me to be just basic default negative about things, but over time it's like I fake being happy about things, and over time you're more positive, you change people around you, stuff like that. Good. I'm glad I got all that off my chest, because now we're going to go into some more interesting news.
Gundam therapy over.
Yeah. And that is this Jigoken Gundam EX. 300, you know, it seems like a lot, but I think it seems worth it for what it is, since it's metal. Metal
build Zeta.
Yeah. But what I loved is how with the beam effect part, they're adding that little blue down.
Very cool.
Down there.
I wish that they'd done that with the kit.
What's that?
I wish that they'd done that with the high grade. The high grade just has the standard like beam saber.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But you know what? Man, 300 is a lot. I'm going to try to like sell a kidney or something, getting all these things. I'm going to try to find a way to get this. I have been kind of selling some old action figures lately, and I might do that. I mean, but what about you? I mean, would you grab something like this? Like, because I think you like the design, but you're not crazy about the design.
Right. No, and I think I shared on Discord, someone actually redesigned the Gundam EX, but like they basically took existing Gundam designs and they like, okay, it's like, okay, this is the Easy 8 head with the ground Gundam arm or shoulders. And like, so they actually made the Gundam EX, but in the style of a traditional mobile suit Gundam, you know, without all of like kind of the extra kibble, greebles, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And I thought that was fantastic. The design, it still doesn't speak to me, but I have to say that I didn't mind it as much when it was animated.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
that GM though, like the way that the GM,
I can't wait for something to come out like that. And here's my thing. This is in my top 10 Gundam designs, which I love it because, so, you know, when it comes to Gundam, like, well, when it comes to mecha, I rarely find mecha designs that I like. It's almost like the idea is better than the execution most of the time. I think for me, Gundam was the first with like the GM variants, the ground Gundam, or the Mark II, where that's still, Mark II still has influence of like the super robot, but it's still like grounded. Like, to me, that's like pinnacle. Yeah. Mecha design. This seems to kind of take that traditional Gundam look, but almost, not scale back in terms of design, but scale back in terms of making it look more realistic, you know? And so I think I like that because Witch for Mercury had little kibble bits wherever, but it didn't kind of make sense. It was just random, but this, it almost makes like it's part of its form and the function of it.
So. Yeah, you know, and I think it was Gundam Pixel on Twitter that said that one of the designers confirmed that it was supposed to look skeletal in its design, which was part of the, of like the color scheme and of course like the way it moves and you know, hey, it's Halloween, it's supposed to look a little spooky.
And something I didn't realize, but having four Vulcan head cannons, which I didn't even think it had them at first.
No.
Because I was just thinking the chain gun that it's got.
That should be all you need, right?
Yeah, but that's why this thing is so cool to me. Like, I love it. Okay, and then another thing I wanted to touch on was this. Bandai Namco trademarks Battle Destiny in Japan.
Oh, so, great. Another battle game for me to mix up names with. It's like we got Battle Alliance, we've got Battle Assault, Battle Chronicle, Battle Operation.
Battle and then something, and it worked. But, the company previously released a Mobile Suit Gundam game for PS Vita titled Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Battle Destiny, which was developed by Artdan Corporation, who did all those battle games. Back in May 2021, Bandai Namco Group announced Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Project Ignited, an initiative to implement various Mobile Suit Gundam Seed series measures around the world, including a new game that was to be formally introduced at a later date. In the 3+ years that have passed, Bandai has yet to officially announce the game. Now, this could be the game, but also it's been a few years that Bandai has then announced cancellations of games.
Right.
And there was even this recent one about a week ago where they announced. So it could be that. So this kind of goes back almost to kind of your marketing stuff in a way, like what Bandai Namco should really be doing. They have a back catalog of amazing Gundam video games that all they need to do is port, remaster, whatever it takes. Like at this point, I wouldn't even be upset if it's not going to be on Xbox, because I understand if you're porting a Vita game that's going to be using the base PlayStation, even, you know, that's more of like three Vita era, you know, into four. Yeah. Like I could see that being hard to port, but they'd need to get their back catalog and just port that stuff.
Dude, it's wild because, you know, you look at a company like Nintendo, and Nintendo has been making money off of Super Mario Brothers 3 for 30 years, because 1993.
Yeah, that's right.
No, 40 years. Well, this is 30th.
It's right. It's over 30, but yeah, under 40.
Over 30. Something. The point is, every single Nintendo console that comes out, you are guaranteed to get Master Collection re-releases of some Mario, some original NES Legend of Zelda. You'll get some of the SNES titles. What's amazing is that, like, all of these Gundam titles are all on either PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. How easy would it be to just drop them on the PlayStation Network and let people download them on the PS4, PS5?
I know, especially if they added the recent one, the you know, the side stories, the collection.
Yeah.
Because
if they could patch it with, like, we don't even need the English language, just English text.
And all I would ask if they added a function to turn off the targeting camera, because as cool as that game was, it always did the auto lock all the time.
Yeah.
And that I would rather it be more of a manual process. Like, okay, I want to target that one. So, okay, well, you know what? That out of the way, there is some stuff I usually bring up at the beginning that I waited to the end, because again, I wanted to kind of get out of that's the last I'll talk about people's random comments. This thing I think you'll appreciate. The Robot Spirits Ver Anime Mark II came in today.
Beautiful. You know, I don't think I've seen a bad Gundam Mark II.
Ever. Right. So interesting you brought that up, because when I do this video, I'm going to compare it with the original release. In the original release, I wasn't too crazy about it for some reason. But then when I saw this as Ver Anime and then saw the original release, I was like, wait a minute, the original release takes some liberties to kind of ground it. And I was like, that's pretty cool, because this, it might be hard to see on the thing, but especially like the head, the eyes of, I wonder, you know, my light's like over here. You know, the eyes are bigger. The face almost has a longer face with kind of the bigger eyes. That's more of a anime thing. So they portrayed her perfectly. Yeah. Also, there's some extra arm articulation or shoulder articulation that I didn't catch from the first Mark II that I accidentally caught from this, where it even like swings out even more. So like you can have it go all the way back, and then you could have it go like forward quite a bit.
That's a big deal, because I know that like a lot of the traditional Gundam poses are holding the beam rifle out and then having the...
That's exactly it. In order to reenact make the poses that are found in animation, it requires articulation that I wouldn't care for, because it's like, well, it's not going to move like that. But if you're like, okay, if I'm trying to make it look all edgy from the anime, which I think Seed really leaned into, it's good to have that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other thing.
Oh, go ahead.
No, actually, you go ahead, because I'm going to do something I forgot.
Oh, I was going to say, I guess the big news from yesterday, Gundam related, is that the Gundam Next Future Pavilion, they unearthed or revealed the life-size Gundam statue in Japan.
Yeah, you told me about that. So what is it, just another iteration of it? Just
yeah, I don't know if it's recycling some of the old parts, because it does look like it's made of the parts from the moving Gundam, but with like a couple of extra flare pieces added onto it. But it's in this cool pose where its hand is extended to the sky. And so they had what I guess is called like a heading ceremony. It's not a beheading, because they're not taking the head off, but they like, you know, made a huge deal about putting the head on. But you know what? Going back to that marketing discussion, I think that the life-size Gundams, keep them coming, because...
Yeah, so that's what's going on here, because when I first got into Gundam, it was the RX-78-2, and then I think they then did the Unicorn, and then the newer RX-78-2 FF or something.
Yeah, the F-00,
F-00, okay. And then So I guess they took that. They're just moving it somewhere else. Yeah, that's a cool idea. Because then it keeps it from being stale, I guess. Almost like it's just like, here's this carnival ride right here that's been there for 40 years and everyone's bored of it. Yeah, moving it. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. On my head, because I need to get a white background, it says Art Rovo Gundam. You know, just a shout out to Art Rovo. If you didn't see it, I did a stream on Saturday where I was building the Sinanju Stein.
Pretty sweet.
Verkaw, which a couple things. One, I never thought I would ever get this suit. So he provided it to me for, you know, the purpose of the sponsor stream. And this is the best Verkaw I've ever built. There is not one issue I have with it.
I was going to say, how many Verkaws have you built? I know we both built the Zeta.
How many have I built? Actually, maybe only two, the Zeta and the Victory 2. So maybe only two.
Okay.
But hey, two's a good, you know, because both of those, they have things that fall apart and it's usually the arms. But this, this thing is solid.
Sturdy.
The building it was fun. The only issues I had were my mistake because it comes with an extra set of runners, I think, for a previous version of this. And I was putting on the wrong inner leg and I couldn't get the pieces to fit on. And I'm like, they did this wrong. Kind of like when you're building Legos and you're like, they missed a piece. They missed a piece. No, but it was all me. And man, this thing is solid. This thing, like nothing falls apart. And dude, the weapons it has, like the gun, which
that is a serious beam rifle,
the rocket and it has, you can like take it apart, do all these crazy things with it. And then, the shield also introduced some cool things where like you can have the beam blades or tomahawk come out that, or you can like change it around and
I've got to get a Sinanju. That is one Zeon suit that I don't have a single kit of.
And oh, that I've you're a fan of
that. The real grade Sinanju is like one of the top real grades. So
that's right. I hear that a lot. And see, I'd never bought it because I typically don't buy the Zeon stuff, even though I like it. And I love the sleeves. I love like the sleeve look, especially it's all color separated pieces. It's not like a sticker or anything. So
that's one of the things about the most of the sleeve suits is that they don't have the color separated parts. So that's very cool that they do for the.
Right. The other thing too, that came in from Art Rovo Gundam, although I did the purchase because if you know, the idea is I'm trying to figure out this relationship. I want to promote our Art Rovo Gundam on my stream, but I want to do it very naturally, organically, or on the channel. So I still buy things. It's not like he just sends me stuff. So I bought and you got it too, right? The RX-78-2 2.0. Did it already come in?
It has not come in yet. I think it's coming in tomorrow. But nice. But yeah, and you know what? He did post over on Instagram that you know, sort of a community update that he's looking to break new ground or break ground at, like, you know, the brick and mortar store.
Right.
So he's a ways to go on paying the down payment on the lease. And so any orders that come in now go a long way to helping him do that. So
yeah, that's a good point.
So anybody who does want to buy some Gunpla, particularly things like Verkaw, I mean, he's got a ton of master grade Verkaw stuff in stock.
Yes.
I think he still has some real grade Granddaddy 2.0s. So yeah.
But don't buy the narrative yet.
Those things anyway.
Yeah. Help don't buy the out. Narrative yet because I'm going to try to buy that once I get paid again because I've done too much. But yeah, that's a good point though. Zoids because
kits, which he also has some Zoids kits, which I've got my the
T-Rex thing,
Dino Breaker. Yeah, that Goose, our mutual supporter, sent me.
Yeah,
Art Rovo actually has the updated version of that, the Berserk Führer. So
okay, because I need to get a Zoid. I want to
be a good one for you.
That is, yeah, because you know that's the other cool thing about it is like how you know this guy's really nice and he was starting out of his garage and now he's getting his own place. Like I love that idea and I like kind of even with me, it's like this channel I want to keep growing it and it's like yeah, I want to work with other people, you know, like you and like him. It's like let's grow our stuff. So yeah, you're going to see Art Rovo around here. And I think another thing too, to kind of help him be more successful is if you guys ever have any, input or something about like the store or whatever,
if there's something you want for him to have in stock, let him know. Like, cause you know, he's got, he's got connections, particularly, you know, when I've talked to him, he's talked about like Kotobukiya distribution.
Oh, yeah.
I know that like a lot, like, obviously Bandai kits, you know, everyone can get their hands on them through, I guess, is it Bluefin is the maiden distributor. But Kotobukiya is, you know, you got like, I guess the Hexagear line and like Zoids and things like that. And they're a lot harder to come by. So you don't typically see them on most, you know, most sites that aren't just like Amazon.
Yeah. And I was gonna, ask him about Robot Spirits, but I want to wait because I feel like that's a burden for anyone to carry because the comic book shop near me has had the same Robot Spirits for like 3 years now. And they, and so I wait when they're on clearance, I'll get in their Zaku. I have a couple land type, right? From O8 MS team.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I forget what I, when I'm heavily invested into one series, I then forget the names of the specific suits from another.
Okay.
You know how it is.
I thought you were going to say when I'm heavily invested in one series, I forget everything about it. And I was like, yeah, me too.
No, that's kind of the same. Hey, let me ask, I could be wrong, but do you have rainbow colored hair?
Rainbow hair?
Because it looks like that in the video. Maybe the lighting, it looks great. Actually,
no, I think
it's the blue and the red.
The combination of my grays are being like, I've got lights that are multicolored shining on my hair.
It looks amazing, by the way. That just, I'm just saying, like, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, so, you know, that's about it for today. You know, this is fun. I want to thank everyone that let me kind of get into this thing because it bothers me when people are being mean, but at the same time, you know, I feel bad because we're all kind of the same. It's just different circumstances in our life kind of got us to where we are. And I'm not always the best at responding. It's like, I want to be able to respond to someone to be able to like show them or tell them, you know, but that's why I have you guys. That's why I have you, Steven. You really helped me with stuff like that when, you know.
Yeah. You know, I try to encourage people to, this is my biggest, takeaway is like, know when you're in a pissing match and get out if you are, because you know, we have a bunch of mutual friends that will get into arguments online, particularly about Gundam and, you know, other anime and things like that. And sometimes you're just not going to change the other person's mind. And so it's not worth your time, honestly. Like, there are so many better things to be doing than arguing with people online. And when I notice that I'm getting into it, I'm like, all right, time to log off. Like, because it's, again, it's just really not worth it.
No, I know what you mean, because then like it's almost like you're doubling down on something when that's not really what is going on. And we're all friends at the end of the day.
They don't care. Like, you know, it's different when I'm talking to someone like you and it's like, okay, well, you know, if you have one interpretation of Requiem for Vengeance's ending, for instance, I have my own. And if we disagree, then let's maybe build a synthesis around that. Right. You know, you've got a thesis. I've got a thesis. We put them together, create a synthesis. But I don't necessarily care what some random schmo on Twitter thinks. And so I'm probably just going to mute them. Like,
yeah. And you know what? You brought up something I'm going to end with, because this is from Lucas Garrett, who's a supporter. He did this and he did it very well. So he goes, this is about Requiem for Vengeance. He goes, a great series review, Adam. Very good. That being said, I have to disagree with your take on why Captain Iria Solari stayed on Earth. As a mother with new type abilities and after what happened to the young pilot of the Gundam EX mobile suit, she is hellbent on finding and protecting young new types drawn into combat zones. She's not vengeful and she didn't lose her humanity. She was motivated by her humanity. Sadly, that means she might never see her son again. And in a way, it's a callback to Temray talking to a then Lieutenant Bright Noah about the deployment of child soldiers in the 1 Year War. The irony is that his own son would become a child soldier as a pilot of the original RX-72 Gundam. Absolutely. And I had to pin that because that was such a great example of
articulated and
disagreeing.
I fall in that same category where I'm like, you know, I don't think that there was this heel turn for Solari. Like, everyone else in her sphere, like Arhun and LaShawn, they were motivated by vengeance. They were like, these guys killed our brothers. We're going to go murder this Gundam pilot. I don't care if we have to kill him in his sleep. Like, that, we don't care. When she realized it was a kid, she was like, no, 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 LaShawn, don't shoot him. Like, stop this. Like, let's pump the brakes. And then when she saw that he finally does die, it's like, you know what? If this war is going to keep going on and I have to choose between either I fight or other kids get in mobile suits and fight, then it might as well be me that goes out and fights instead of my son.
Yeah. You know what? And I have to remember what it is. There's a movie, and I want to say it stars a female character, and she's going through that. And by the end, the thing she was trying to save gets killed, and then she just turns. And it reminded me of that. I need to bring that up just for the comparison. But I do like, yeah, what you and Lucas Garrett are saying. That's why I appreciate Lucas Garrett's comment. It makes sense. Oh, and he's in chat, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Good way to end on a positive note of how, as new types, we should be understanding each other. Yeah.
Come on, let's evolve.
Yeah. Well, cool. Now, well, thanks,
everybody. I'm less patient than you. I'm willing to drop an asteroid onto Earth to make it happen.
I don't know. I think you keep me in check. maybe that it's, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to head out. So is Steven. So yeah, check Steven's stream if you haven't, to kind of deep dive into the marketing stuff we were talking about. But
yeah, cheers.
Until next time. Yeah, see you guys later.